The New Testament lesson from Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition, nothing out of vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not count equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. The Gospel lesson, Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room available for them in the inn. The word of the Lord. So as Christians, as the church, we have a lot of good resources at our hands for this time of year, for remembering what Christmas is all about. But even still, if you're like me, you can almost miss it. You can get caught up in the busy traffic and all the shopping that's going on, all the music that's happening, the different Christmas songs that we've already thought about over the last couple weeks. It can be so easy to get lost in the shuffle and to forget the real meaning of Christmas. And even if, as we read this from Luke chapter 2, the very narrative of the birth of our Savior, you can almost miss it. It's just one line. It gives the historical facts of what was going on at the time. The political tension, the political names, the towns that were happening. Caesar Augustus, the governor Quirinius, all this was going on. Bethlehem, people going to their own towns to register. There was political things happening. There was news going about. People were shopping. Traffic was crazy. And all the while, a baby was born. A family couldn't find a room in the inn. And it was too late. They were running out of time. One author put it this way. When Jesus was born, it was the world-changing event, but it was also a moment where nothing happened. Who knew about this amazing life-changing event that took place? Nobody but a few shepherds, and maybe some sheep, and an ox, and an ass. Who knew about this amazing life-changing, world-changing event? The moment in the world when nothing happened. All this was going on, and yet we also read centuries later, and now, and also as the Apostle Paul wrote years later, the amazing hymn, thinking about Christ's birth, his humility, how he humbled himself, became like one of us. Don't miss this. There's no bells and whistles about Jesus' birth. It's the moment when nothing happened. In an article in Christianity Today titled "The Humility and Poverty of Christmas," author Caitlin Beattie says, "God doesn't try to attract people with his message during this time. Instead, he waits for our eyes to adjust to the dim lighting of the manger, to come to him, to look upon him, to see him, to behold our God. There was no room in the inn." Think about the innkeeper. Just another couple came by. Another couple, a pregnant lady came by asking for room. "Oh, I'm so sorry, I'm booked tonight. I don't got anything." If only he knew who he was talking to. Maybe we think that if we could have rewinded the tapes, you know, people would have understood things differently. If the innkeeper only knew who he was talking to, he would have cleared out the whole hotel. If I was that innkeeper, I would have missed it too. And you know, and though we can't rewind history, even though we can't go back 2,000 years, this invitation is still open to us. The invitation is to make room. This was the moment when nothing happened. And that's how it was meant to be. That's how God meant it to be. Let the poor say, "I am rich." Let the weak say, "I am strong." Jesus' birth, the whole narrative of his life, it represents salvation and God's movement throughout time and history to come to a people who are too little and too weak to do anything on their own, to come into the lives of broken, sinful people like you and me, who we can't save ourselves, who we need love and grace and mercy. We need that from one another, and God offers it to us in his Son. Don't miss this. There are no bells and whistles, but the invitation still remains. Make room. Make room in your hearts. Make room in your hearts for Jesus. He is Lord. He is Savior. He has come to you in love. Jesus speaks of an image later on in his life to his disciples. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever hears my voice and enters, opens up, I will enter and be with him, and he with me." It's an amazing image. Jesus waiting for you, longing to be with you, longing to spend time with you, longing to heal you, longing to save you, longing to give you comfort and satisfaction in life. And it doesn't end there. Jesus then promises that his presence is all around us. Wherever we're gathered, he is there with us. And yet, even a bigger invitation with more implications. Jesus says, "Look around you, the least of these. How you have treated those who have needs, those who are poor, those who are hungry, those who are lonely. Whatever you've done for these, you have done also to me." Jesus' invitation to make room is for us to make room in our own hearts. But it's also an invitation not just to make room for him, but to make room for those around us, to make room for our neighbors. Author Dorothy Day, in her devotional titled "Room for Christ," she says, "It is of no use saying that we are born 2,000 years too late to give room to Christ. Nor will those who live at the end of the world have been born too late. Christ is always with us, always asking for room. But now it is with the voice of our contemporaries that he speaks. The eyes of the store clerks, factory workers, children that he gazes, with the hands of office workers, slum dwellers, suburban housewives that he gives. It is with the feet of soldiers and tramps that he walks. With the heart of anyone in need that he longs for shelter. And giving shelter or food to anyone who asks for it or needs it is giving to Christ. Don't miss it. Jesus' coming has no bells and whistles. It's not the latest blockbuster movie that everybody is scrambling to buy in the stores and wait in lines for. It's not the new model of the sleek car with a big life-size bow on top that you buy and then you never use again. There's no bells and whistles to it. Don't miss this. Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. This Christmas, don't miss Jesus' invitation. This Christmas, remember the invitation to make room for him. Remember to make room for him. The least of these, Christ among us. This Christmas, let us all make room. Amen.